Good morning, church family. Good morning, church family. Hey, if I could just have all of our veterans, if you could please stand for me this morning. I would just love to honor you. Thank you. I think you can hear it in this room that we all here, young families, people that have lived in this country, we are so grateful for your willingness to go all the way for us. And just thank you. I hope you feel honored this Veterans Day and that you feel respected and cared for by our church family. So thank you for that. And I just want to welcome those that are tuning in online. Welcome any guests in the house. We're just glad to have you today. And welcome to our friends at Cumberland County Jail. Glad to have you tuning in. It's amazing what God's doing. And I have a couple announcements. It's kind of like a little family update this morning. There's a lot going on in our family ministry. You've heard us talk about that a lot in the last 12 months. We are continuing to bust at the seams over in the children's ministry. Pretty soon, I think we'll have an invasion in this room. If we haven't already. And so just for parents that know, we've separated out both the infants from the toddlers. They're in the same room. That's a bad idea. My son Jack is back there, and he's like a three-year-old bowling ball with legs. It's an absolute liability to have him with infants. And so we've put the toddlers in their own room. It's not quarantine, I promise, just for my son. And then also the infants. And so we're continuing to expand. And as you all know, that means more and more people investing with their time to care for these young children. Yesterday, we gathered in the student lounge. 15 families dedicated 22 kids yesterday morning. Four of them were sons, all boys, that are on this staff team that have been born in the last 6 months. We're going to call them the Sons of Thunder. They are big boys. And finally, one last thing is we have the Christmas fair coming up in a few weeks. It is kind of our big annual event to welcome in and love on our community. It has become the largest event by foot traffic that we do here in 12 months is the Christmas fair. And everyone told me, Keenan, if you just throw a craft fair, all of Greater Portland will come. It's like the Field of Dreams, right? If you build it, they'll come. They were right. Every crafter in all of New England wants a table at the craft fair. And so that's going to be coming up. If you want to serve, that's going to be, I think it's the second week of December. It's the second weekend of December. I think it's on the 7th. If you want to serve in that and get a taste for what it's like to serve on our hospitality team, our host team here at The Point, we'd love your help. We need your help to welcome thousands of people over the course of Saturday. And so in your bulletins, if you have that, there's a QR code you can scan with your phone. The people at the hub, our team, is willing to and ready to help you navigate the app to sign up to jump on that team. It's a Saturday. We'd love to have you serve for our Christmas fair. Okay, now we're getting into our Maiden Main story. Y'all ready? But before we get into that, I just want to share this. If you're new with us today, if you're new with us and gathering with us, or you've been new with us in the last few weeks, I want you to hear from my mouth. We exist to help you live your life in Jesus' name. We exist to help people come to know Jesus, to be made into disciples. And in this season, this is the very thing we're talking about. But I pray that this isn't just some fun sermon series with a bunch of historical main stories. That we see ourselves in this story that God is writing here in the great state of Maine. That we're sharing stories of the 20th Maine and of Bath Iron Works and of Poland Springs. And I gave them a free PSA a couple weeks ago. Still love their water. But we're meant to be made into the image of God on mission for God to live our lives for the glory of his name. And so I don't want you to hear me from this platform give you a shallow gospel of if we just work a little hard and add a little Jesus, your life is going to be better. Because quite frankly, it might actually get harder, but joy wells up from within. Purpose comes into our lives as we live our lives in him, everything else becomes clear. And so if you're joining us, we are going deep and we are leaning in because we want to give our entire lives over to Jesus to live for him. And that's why we're talking about being made in Maine. And I actually want to start today in the scriptures. We're going to start in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 17. And this is a moment in the church where it seems like Paul is just kind of wandering around waiting for his buddies to come down to this little coastal town called Athens. And so Paul is in this ancient city that many of us, if we've ever been to that neck of the woods, it's a bucket list vacation spot, Athens, to see the Parthenon and to see these incredible Greco-Roman construction efforts that just, it blows your mind when you look at all that they did in the first few centuries in Greece and even beforehand. And this is where Paul is kind of wandering around waiting for a couple of his missionary buddies to come join him in Athens. And Paul is wandering around, but he takes note of a few things that I think he would see if he were to walk around Portland, Maine today. So we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Gentiles. Say synagogue with me, the synagogue. As well as in the marketplace. Say marketplace with me, marketplace. These are two important words. As well as in the marketplace, day by day, with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, "What is this babbler trying to say?" Maybe some of you have asked that question when you come to church on Sundays. "What is this babbler trying to tell me?" Others remarked, "He seems to be advocating foreign gods." They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you're presenting? You're bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean." Why? "Because all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas." It's like watching the news, never ending, never ending, never ending. What are the latest and newest ideas? This was the culture in this Stoic and philosophical time in Athens and in Greece. They thought that their intellect and their enlightenment was going to achieve this greater understanding of how the world worked. And this is the genesis of why there are all of these beautiful shrines and things built in the name of all of these many gods. And Paul's wandering around noticing that they are worshiping all of these gods in this city of Athens. And it's called polytheism. It's that there are many gods. And some of us may have grown up with this idea or understanding or this neo-polytheism that there is a mother nature, or there is a god of the universe, or there is a god on the golf course. Anybody, when you miss your putts, right? Like, but we act and we actually live as if there's multiple gods, and many of us actually view our God not as Abba Father, but as Zeus with a lightning bolt. And if we screw up, he's going to strike us. So help me God. Can anyone relate? We get so confused on all these gods. And if you were to walk around Portland today, I've done this, and just do some window shopping, there are idols all around. And some of them look like the dollar bill, right? All these ideas that if you invest rightly, or if you spend wisely, or if you work harder, you can have more of this god that the Bible calls mammon, this pursuit of wealth and security because of our hard work. Or maybe you step into a palm reader's office or a tarot card reader's office or into crystal shops, and this new age movement that we've heard many people talk about that have actually come to know the Lord and repented and walked away from these very gods because they are real and they will ravage your entire life because they come to know the one true God. This is why Paul was greatly distressed, because he's come to know God on the Damascus Road in a place that he falls to his knees and he was worshiping a God more of religion than Yahweh, Abba Father, who sent Jesus to die for him. But once he comes to know that it is Jesus, the very one that he was persecuting, says, "It is I, Paul." Paul gives his entire life to him and his purposes and his mission. You see, today we're going to unpack what it means to not only live as surrendered followers of Jesus who together practice and experience the presence of God, but are empowered and equipped to live on mission. Right? The mission aspect for many of us is actually, it's our goal in life. We need to have a purpose. We need to have a mission. Paul did not live on mission for mission's sake. He lived on mission because he met Jesus, because he came to know who Jesus is. He came to know who his Father in heaven is, and as a result, lived empowered and equipped on mission. And so he goes into this city, and he's greatly distressed. And so what does he do? He goes to the synagogue where the God-fearing people are. Imagine this is our synagogue this morning, right? My prayer is that you're in here because you want to know God more and you want to learn what it means to follow him, or you came because somebody invited you and you're saying, "What is this babbler trying to tell me?" But we're here out of a desire to know God. But how about in the marketplace? One city center in Portland, Maine. The downtown villages of Gorham or down in Westbrook or over in Scarborough or Cape Elizabeth, right? People aren't gathering in those marketplaces this morning to know God. No, the marketplace is where people come and go, but they're people who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? And so when we think about synagogue, this is what we're gathering. This is where even the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks gathered, but as well, Paul was in the marketplace day by day. So we're going to go further on because these Stoics and philosophers bring him to kind of their central discussion platform called the Areopagus. And this is where they just literally lean back and they share what they believe and they debate one another and they kind of try to refine their enlightened ideas. And this is all they do all day long. It looks a lot like Congress. And so in verse 22, Paul then stood up in the meeting. He stands up in the meeting among all of these Stoics and philosophers, and he says, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you're very religious. You're very religious. But does religious mean relationship in Jesus? No. I see that you're religious. You come and you go and you do the rhythms and the things to worship your gods. I see that you're very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at all of your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.'" This is like your job description when you get it and it says, "Other duties as assigned." Right? They don't want to miss anything. They want to make sure that if there is a God out there, that he's welcome to sit at this table. There's literally an idol inscribed, just in case there's another one, "This is your seat, to an unknown God." He says, "So you're ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you." He gets their attention and he says, "You've got all this religiousness, but you don't know the true God." And he goes on to say, "The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have even said, we are his offspring." We run into these people all the time, and they might not consider themselves believers, or they might not say that they're saved, but they have an element within them that says, "I believe in God." They look at creation, and they say, "This could not be an accident." They look at the circumstances and coincidences in the world and in their own lives, and they can't argue that there is a divine being that is working in their lives in a very active way. And what Paul's trying to appeal to them is saying, in him we live and move and have our being. You even believe that you're his offspring, but let me introduce you to him. He's near to you so that you might seek him, you might find him, and you might live for him. When we come to know Jesus and we continue to live our lives in him, we can't help but live on mission and share this very same good news with others that we have come to believe. This is why Paul, he was discouraged. He was in despair. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And out of a deep burden of love because of what he's experienced in Jesus Christ, he has to tell the people of Athens who his Father in heaven is. You see, we're unpacking this idea that disciples are surrendered followers of Jesus who live together. They practice, they experience the presence of God, and we are empowered and equipped to live on mission. The next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about what it means to live on mission, but I want you to hear me from the outset of these next 3 weeks that the mission is not a goal, it's just an outcome. It's actually a really bad goal because we end up putting on this heavy yoke and we try our best to do what the preacher man's telling us to do and we feel anxious and we... Living on mission is an outcome of living in Jesus Christ. If we live our lives in him, this morning as I was reading the word in Colossians chapter 2, this was just this morning, it just stuck out to me as I was like, God, I just want to hear from you this morning. I want to understand more of you. He brought me to this passage in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, so then, just as you receive Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. What he doesn't say is, since you met Jesus, go out and kill yourself for the glory of his name. He says, continue to live your life in him. In, within, abiding, remaining, living in his presence, just glorying in how good he is and his love. And this can happen any and everywhere in our lives. It doesn't take this synagogue to happen. We can actually live in this place, in the marketplace. You see, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. He was not talking about you will do, you will be. You are the salt of the earth. It's a state of being. It's a state of who we are. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's a state of being, not doing. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. As you remain in Jesus, we become saltier, even more than just typical Mainers. And we become the light of the world. It illuminates from within. And so as we're thinking about living on mission here in the state of Maine, we're going to break it down into kind of three categories. What it means for us as a corporate group to serve the community in the marketplace. What it means for us as a gathering of people to give on mission generously. And then finally, what it means to go out and be the salt of the earth and the light of the world out in our community. And so we read this passage in Acts chapter 17 that Paul goes to the synagogue and then he goes to the marketplace. And so here we are in the 21st century and I think it'd be pretty odd if you're asking me to go out with a big sign and stand in front of everyone and try to use that as your ability to gain people to have a conversation like Paul did, right? We've seen some of those modalities and they don't typically work. So for us, what if, I'm just going to ask this very hypothetical, rhetorical question, what if we were to build a place that looks like the marketplace Monday through Saturday? What if we chose to build a huge building with maybe a turf soccer field and a gymnasium and a cafe and create a marketplace? Do you think people would come? There were 600 people here yesterday. 15 gatherings and events here in this building. That's why we built this place, right? It's not a trick question or philosophical at all. We have built the marketplace and people are coming. Quite frankly, I'm going to share some statistics just to give us a perspective of how much foot traffic we actually see in the Point Community Center Monday through Saturday. This is just Monday through Saturday. So in this year, we have served over 1,000 gatherings and events in this building. Last year, it was over 1,200 events, almost 1,300 events and gatherings. To date, since we opened this building in April of 2017, it's almost 8,000 events and gatherings. And so take, yeah, that's good, right? These are just bookings. I don't say this to pat ourselves on the back. I'm talking about the opportunity we have here to reach Greater Portland in this marketplace that we've built. So take 8,000 people on average, maybe five, probably more like 10, but say five people come to those gatherings and events. That's 40,000 people that have walked through this building. That doesn't include our open gyms, our open turf time, our open cafe. That doesn't include what we do here on Sunday morning. We possibly could have served in the last 7+ years over 100,000 people here in Greater Portland just by opening our doors. But it's not about the building. It takes a Paul. It takes the salt of the earth, the light of the world, to be letting our good deeds shine before others. Yesterday I was here and Connie was here. She's one of our hosts and she's so sweet. And it was as if she was working at a Hilton. Everybody here knew her by name. Oh, Connie, could you help? Of course I can help. Could you help us with this? Birthday parties, moms, grandmas, asking Connie. And Connie is just serving and serving and serving, a heart that is grateful for what the Lord is doing and the opportunity that she has. We need 30 more Connies. Marcel and Janet, our team members, are collecting trash, putting things away. David is working in the evenings, helping establish a culture. We have hosts that are here week in, week out, day after day, serving so that we might have a conversation with somebody to help them understand who this unknown God is. Because people walk in this building and they go, what's going on here? And this is on Tuesday or Saturday morning. Or Thursday evening, when they're coming with their children, or they're coming for a Weight Watchers class, or they're coming for a recovery meeting, they walk through the door and their eyes go up and they go, what is this place? And then they go, what am I feeling? We know it's the presence of the Lord. But how many of us will actually choose to show up in this marketplace we've built on the other side of this wall to say, I'm going to serve in the name of the Lord, that we might see some come to know Jesus, that they might be able to choose to live their lives built up in him. And so just to give you a perspective, that this facility that we've built, that we are able to serve the FBI, Portland Police Department, community, the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office, the City of South Portland Police Department, self-defense classes, we do Alcoholics Anonymous, Drug Addicts Anonymous, the Family Restored, AA meetings specifically for women. We serve with the Opportunity Alliance and Sweetser, DHHS, the Special Olympics, Red Cross, Meals on Wheels, Southern Maine Agency on Aging, Root Cellar, Mainly Teeth, Transformation Project, Nana's House, Maine Adaptive. We've served the U.S. Air Force and the Air National Guard, the U.S. Army and the Maine National Guard. We serve the Fellowship of the Christian Athletes, Mission Maine, Young Life, New England Bible College, and that's a small portion of the 8,000 gatherings we've had in this space. That's a lot. We would have been here till lunchtime if I read everything that we've done in this space, but I want to tell you on a personal note, I've had the privilege, because of my seat previously and even now, that I've had the personal privilege to be able to just connect with local officials, town mayors, state department heads, the chief of police, the fire chief, the emergency management directors, senators, representatives, indirectly with the governor of the state of Maine, and nationally and internationally with countless other church and ministry leaders as they consider how they can impact their community in the same way we do. We come here every single week, and man, can't we take it for granted. There are people all over the world, including a Russian missionary that came a couple weeks ago, and he said, this is incredible, that you would leverage the marketplace for the gospel. There are people all over the country that come and they go, who uses this building? Is it mostly your church? And I say, most of our church has never been here Monday through Saturday. They would be amazed if they walked through the building on Saturday. When there's dozens of birthday parties, when there's things going on in the gym, the playscape is packed. It's just this incredible marketplace. But my question is, who will go to serve them? Who will go to love on somebody? To say, hey, are you done with that coffee cup? Can I take it and throw it away? Hey, how can I help your little daughter? Seems like she could use a little help this morning. Can I bring her a ball or help her get out on the turf? Hey, can we drop the net so the little ones can play away from the boys playing tackle football on one side of the turf? Right? How can we love on and serve and hopefully get an opportunity to share the gospel? It's been a gift to Greater Portland. It's been a gift to be able to watch. And for me, I just want you to hear it for yourself from a couple people that are grateful for this church family.
What's your favorite part of the Point Community Center?
Combination of the turf as well as the playscape. When the weather is bad in Maine, it provides a place for us to go to, and I really appreciate that.
What is the thing that you like the most about the community center?
The fly area and the ball area.
Our grandchild really loves this place, and there's all kinds of equipment and devices and just play area that she can interact with other kids, and she really enjoys and looks forward to being here.
We are really grateful for East Point as a community center. It definitely served its purpose.
Hi, my name is Jean. I have the pleasure of being a direct support professional for Strive. And I also have the pleasure of coming here with the folks I support. And all I can say is what a wonderful, welcoming place to come. Whether we're playing basketball or games or watching the little kids out in the turf field, it's a feel-good place, and we're honored to be here. So thank you, East Point Church.
Just a fun glimpse of what goes on here at the Point throughout the week. So we've built a world-class missional sandbox for you. A free gift to the community that we want our church family to embrace and dive in and find opportunities to be able to support, whether it's with our hands and our feet and our volunteer time or with financial support, that this is what we've built as the marketplace. We gather in the synagogue to hear teaching and be inspired and encouraged, and that is the missional sandbox that we've built. Next week, we're going to unpack the financial implications and the mission that we've chosen to take on as a church family to continue to reach this region with this free gift that we call the Point Community Center. And many of you sitting in this room are in this room because you were a user of the Point Community Center. There's stories of life change. There's stories of baptism, people that have come to know the Lord and allowed Him to work in their hearts, that came just to bring their grandchildren, came for a job fair, came as a law enforcement officer, and here you are worshiping Jesus with us on Sunday morning. And it is a powerful, powerful testament to what it means for what it means to be in the marketplace with the gospel. And so before I get too long-winded, which I already am, I'm going to welcome out Marcel Veilleux, our point director, who joined our team about 6 months ago and has done an incredible job with his team, with Janet Desmaris and our entire host team. And I just want to hear a little bit from Marcel Veilleux as he comes out. So just give him a hand as we welcome him. Welcome, Marcel. Hey, nice shirt.
I was going to say, it's good to see you got the memo.
Yeah. Hey, so we're going to spend some time here talking a little bit about what it's been like to be the director here at The Point. But I want to ask, what's it been like for you in this role to be a part of all that goes on here Monday through Saturday?
Before I do that, is it okay if I read some scripture?
Yes.
If you had another answer, we'd be having a different conversation. You know that. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For by doing so, some people have shown hospitality to angels without even knowing it.
Amen.
That's the context that we like to portray out there on the turf and in the gym. And
what's it been like for you to show that in the last 6 months on a personal note?
I could write a book.
Yes, I'm sure you could.
So I'd love to kind of relate it to you in three different stories. So the first story is, if you've ever been here and you see the kids who come back frequently, they just barely get through the door, and they're pulling their shoes off. They're sitting in the doorway. And so one day there was this mother who came in, and she's got this infant in her arms. And I saw her struggling with her son trying to get him out of the doorway because people were coming through. And so I went over and I said, "Can I help you?" And she said, so my thought was, I'll help the son, right, get his shoes off. She throws the infant at me, right? So immediately I go into grandpa mode, right? This is grandpa mode. And the child lets out the biggest burp I've ever heard. And she looks up at me and she says, "Wow, you're good." Yeah. And then there was another story where a gentleman, I turn around and he had, "Oh, you got to help me," written all over his face. Hadn't said a word yet. And so I went over and said, "Hey, I'm Marcel. Can I help you?" And he says, "Yeah, I've got 50 eighth graders on a bus outside there. We're asked to leave early from Urban Air," another business in this complex. And they had double booked, so they asked these eighth graders to leave early. And he said, I've got 45 minutes before they go and have lunch. Some restaurant in this area agreed to feed 50 eighth graders. I don't know where it was, but and so he's looking at the turf, and it was busy that day, and he said, "Can I bring him in to play there?" And I went, "No, but listen, we've got a gymnasium that's not being used." And he just, like, you could see the weight just melting off of him. And so we put him in there. So that night, I got an email. In his email, he said, "I'm a Christian. I'm a principal at a public school here in Maine. And some of these eighth graders can't even spell the word church. But this is what I heard on the way home. That's a church? I want to go to church."
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. All to the glory of God. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Got one more.
Yes.
One more. And this is where, you know, I have a business background as well as a ministry background. So earlier in the spring, we had Maine Home Show.
Yes.
And they have a company come in and set up the cubicles. And so we were here just trying to assist them any way we could. And this young man was kind of leaning up against the pole. And so I went over to him, as I do with anyone. I said, "Hey, how you doing?" And he said, "Okay." And I said, "Well,
don't say that to Marcel. Don't say that."
So I said, "Well, that doesn't sound too good. What's going on?" Now, he had the choice of saying, "None of your business."
Yes.
He had the choice of saying, "Well, no, really, it's okay." But he chose to let the curtain down. And he said, "My grandfather, who is a central part of my life, just died. And on the same day, my best friend died of an overdose." I took him as quickly as I could into Discover East Point Room, and we just talked, and we read scripture, and we prayed together, and got him connected to a church. It wasn't here, but we're not building a church. We're building a kingdom,
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, I love that. Amen. And Marcel could, just in a matter of 6 months, go on with stories that you would just say, "What a fun place to be," but I want you to be able to spend some time talking about some of the opportunities we see here, and then also the challenges that we're facing at the point.
Yeah, we're going to go with the opportunities first. Is that okay? Okay, good. So the opportunities. So first off, we need to build a culture with the hosts, and it was a joy to see them being released and freed that they don't have to sit behind the desk and answer the phone, right?
Yes.
And so we wanted our hosts out on the floor, interacting with people, having relationship. And so to be able to empower people to do that and help them find their gifts and then help them go with them to their fullest potential. So that's an opportunity. Another one is just maximizing the space, allowing, making sure that no room is not or goes unused any day of the week so that we have traffic after traffic. Traffic has picked up, too.
Traffic has picked
up. And then, in short, we just want our host to live on mission and not just perform. We want them to live on mission, and our mission is just to show the love of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Any challenges you're facing?
How long do we have?
No.
We just, the challenges are just finding people who love to host, but they're dedicated, surrendered followers of Jesus. And so, and then the other one is just activating and empowering volunteers, again, to live on mission. Yeah. It's easy to come in and just walk around, but it's work developing relationships.
Yes. And,
but our desire is to see those relationships kind of unfold so that we can share the love and talk about Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And how about seeing the Point Community Center? Where do you see it going in the future? How do you see it expanding? How do you see it impacting not just maybe Greater Portland, but who knows where?
Yeah. So yesterday you mentioned we had 15 or 17 different events here and all the people that came in, about maybe a third to a half of those people coming in with their kids to go to the birthday party. I always ask the question, is this the first time you've been here? And about a third of the people say, yeah, this is an amazing building. So we are the best kept secret in the greater Portland area. We are. And so one of the challenges is to make sure that no one thinks about going to any other venue other than this world-class destination that we have that we call the Point Community Center.
Yeah.
And then I just see us, I hope the elders are here, I just see us buying more space down there so that we can have more events. Yeah. No, we need another gymnasium.
Yes.
We can fill that gymnasium every single day.
Yeah,
and can I just give a shout-out to Janet?
Yes.
She does all the computer stuff, makes sure the money's coming in, and this is all stuff that would suck the life out of me. So I am so grateful for Janet, and I hope she's here.
Yes, big round of applause for Janet.
Give it.
Oh, it was so much fun.
And just one more thing, and you kind of mentioned it and alluded to it, but you don't know the amount of people who come in, pastors, people from other churches. This is a model. Yes. This is a model for people in this state and all across the country.
Yes,
it really
is.
And you mentioned this the day a couple of days ago. A usual community center in a church has the foot traffic be 75% church people and 25% community. We flip that upside down.
Yeah.
So we have 75% of the foot traffic in here, the community, And 25%, you guys.
Love that.
Yeah.
We've created the marketplace.
Yeah, and come in any time of the day, Monday through Friday, till 9 to 5. Friday till 2, and I'll give a tour to anyone. We love our community center.
And he'll give you a shirt and a name tag and an opportunity to live as a missionary here.
There's always a price.
And this is where we'll kind of land, at least for now, Marcel. Yeah. If people would like to just know more, not to sign up, but just to know more, what can they do if they're in this space today?
We'd love to have you pray, but we're looking for people who are positive, because you got to be positive out there, flexible, because no day is like the one before, and most of our plans just get brushed aside. and then outgoing. We just want to have relationship with people so that we can show the love of Christ and hopefully go down and get into the good news of the gospel. So if that's you, and I want you to pray about it, next Sunday at 10:30 in Discover East Point Room, we're going to lure you in with some donuts and coffee, but we're going to have an informational meeting. So come and ask all of your questions, and hopefully we can I'd love to walk out of there. This is my prayer to God. I need 10 more people, Lord. Please, 10 more people, Lord. So hopefully that's 10 of you are here right now today, and the Lord is working on your heart. So, amen. Yeah, and amen. All of this leading up to the Christmas fair, we need help. We need help to have all of our guests. No one is to leave, come here without a hello and leave without a goodbye.
Yeah, amen. So, amen. Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Marcel. Thanks for joining us out here and sharing your heart. Doesn't he just make you feel just safe and warm on the inside when he's up here? Oh, what a, just a guy that's so near to my heart. So glad to have him on this team in this season in church. I'll give you a challenge. I'd love for that room to be overflowing next week. If you're just to get some information, just to understand if there's somebody in your life that's not here today, please share it with them if you think that they'd be great at hospitality and in this space. And it's not just for people who are retired and have time during the day. There's evening opportunities. This is a place. This is a team that we want to continue to invest in to impact Greater Portland in this marketplace. And I'm just grateful for what the Lord's doing. I'm grateful for the space he's allowed in this generous, generous church to sustain it, because this is a matter of eternal life. And I don't want to be bombastic about it. I don't want this to just be rhetoric from a preacher. We do this because Jesus has done this for us. That many of us, someone in the name of Jesus has shown up in our lives and said, hey, how are you doing? Hey, can I pray for you? Have you ever heard about the love of God through his son, Jesus Christ? We're trying to create a space for us as a church to live on mission so that more people are with us before the Lord eternally in heaven. That people here that have names, they have addresses here in Greater Portland. We're in the most densely populated area of the state. A third of the state's population is within a 30-minute commute of this marketplace model we've built. But you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. And this was Paul's heart as he came to Athens, was he looked around at the spiritual state of this great city and he said, it's bankrupt without Jesus. It's bankrupt without the love of God. And there's people that walk in here every single day that know that there's an unknown God in their life. And maybe God's going to use you to help them come to know the true God. God of the universe, the God that says, if you seek me, you'll find me because I'm not all that far away. And maybe that's you this morning, as you've come even in this space to seek him, to find him. My encouragement to you is give your entire life to him. Allow him to invade your heart. Say, Jesus, I'm giving you all of me so I can have all of you. And today, as we come to the communion table, mission, outreach, impact, they're good outcomes, but they're not as good of a goal as communion with Jesus. That we come to the table as the end. Oneness with Jesus, living our lives in him is the end. Hearing from him, allowing his love to invade our lives, beholding him and not running away for the next thing that's dragging our attention, but to just rest in the love of God is the end of us. Everything else is just a means. And so today, as we come to the table, may we receive Jesus' love yet again today. May we receive his forgiveness. May, if we need to, we confess our sin. We give him our anxieties. We say, Lord, we don't need more anxiousness and pressure from the outside. We need your love to flow up from within and invade my life so that someday maybe I'll be able to live on mission for you. But we got to get ourselves rooted and built up and established in Jesus first. So would you join me at the table as we thank you, Jesus, for your broken body on the cross, that you broke your body for us, took the pain of suffering, sin, condemnation, judgment upon yourself so that we could be made whole, clothed in your righteousness to stand forgiven and free. We take the bread and the cup of the new covenant, that it's by faith that we can come to Jesus to receive his love. It's by his cleansing blood that washes us clean as snow, to be able to stand before the Father and cry out, Abba, Father. It's not Zeus with a lightning bolt. He's our dad in heaven who loves us and is drawing us to him. We take the cup and receive the love of Christ. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. We thank you for the opportunity it is to be able to steward this incredible gift you've given us called the Point Community Center. Lord, would we never once be arrogant, cocky, but we'd be humbly posturing it to say, how can we love Greater Portland well, one person at a time, one name at a time? Who are you drawing to yourself, Father? Lead us to them. We want to be agents in your work because we've come to know how deeply you love us. Lord, as we worship you this morning, would you receive our worship? Would you be present in this moment where you just invade our lives with the love of the Father? We love you, Lord, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.